Welcome to TSW After Dark Side. You rebel fleets wanna play rough? Okay, say hello to my little apprentice.
Yeah, that's how I have to do it.
Splendid. Okay, I didn't realise I had to do that.
Oh no, I know some stuff.
He knows some things and stuff.
He knows some shit.
Internationally syndicated podcaster Rob Wade knows some stuff.
Yeah, Christ, you've had a big podcasting week, haven't you?
I've had a busy old week, mate. Yeah,
two of your
podcasts going up. I've got one of mine coming up, going up tomorrow as well.
Have you?
I can't be stopped.
Two of yours ended up in
a review.
That review this week.
I know, but they managed to forget that there were four people on Tumbling Saber.
Yes,
and is he linked to the dark side?
And they linked to last week's episode as well.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe that's why.
A lot of it looked like copy and paste to me.
Oh, right.
Like they started off the kind of just the intro bit of R1. They'd taken the intro bit from R1 and written it out again.
Right.
Like word for word, and then tweaked it once the stories diverged. Obviously, for ours, it was quite quick because obviously we started talking about Expedia.
Yeah, yeah.
I hear you got
you're multicasting,
on
aren't you?
Only that once.
Yeah, whatever.
Just because you're going to leave us now. No. Because they record, for a start, Steve, they record at 3 a.m. on a Monday morning.
Oh, that's not good.
So, that's not happening.
I would still sack him, Mark, before he gets the opportunity to before give he gets, his notice in.
Before he gets the opportunity to be a splitter.
Yeah, and then that way we save face.
When it gets to the point, Steve, where I start up my own personal portfolio page, then maybe start to worry. But otherwise, I'm still nobody.
Well, join the club. Well, not for Mark.
You got more YouTube. You got 10 times more YouTube subscribers than I do, Steve.
Yeah, but I've been on YouTube for about 6 years.
True.
But I haven't been able to
up it from 18 for about 3 months.
It's getting the what you have to do. It's obvious, really. You have to have more people joining than you do unjoining, and that's the trick. Because if you don't do a video for a couple of weeks, mine drops.
Yeah, mine. Yeah.
If I regularly do them, then it goes up like by about two a week.
Well, the problem I've got is that when I'm doing videos, it's just me doing editing on them. So they're only as fast as I am. And obviously if I've got three or four, I mean, I've got about 13 queued up to publish, not even just to do, they're done. And then I've got about three or four in the can as well.
Whoa, what's that noise?
Bit of a mystery.
That was Jen.
Hi, Steve's Jen.
She's not swearing. She was swearing a minute ago.
Right, my
swearing.
Jen just looked at me because she's clearly appreciates the distinction this time. Usually I just say hello, Jen, and then she just waves.
She's not American, your book missus, is she?
No, she's not. No, she's from.
I have to be careful.
Gravesend.
If I'm in trouble, if she takes me to one side to ask me what I'm doing or if anything's suspicious, if I have to keep my hands in the air, or she'll shoot me.
You're from
if I go, oh, do you want to see it? It's in my pocket. She just shoots me. She doesn't.
Left leg.
Steve?
Hello.
Do you want to put your camera on?
Yeah.
You don't have anything.
I've kind of got a really long worm at the moment.
A really long worm?
Yeah. Can you hold me off for a minute?
Yep. I'm going to try and...
That's not a euphemism. I do have a long worm.
I'm going to bring Paul in because he's going to come
on Slithery-O.
Show off.
I'm playing Slithery-O and I've just done really well.
Slithers. It was very popular in my office for a couple of weeks.
Oh, it's fucking brilliant.
No work was getting done either.
I've got a good. I was number one.
It is recording, but don't worry about it.
Nice.
That's it. Look, it's me.
Hey.
Whoa.
It's you.
Turn up the mic.
Is that Paul?
Yeah.
No, he's still...
That's him.
There
Steve,
he
can
is.
The door, please? I'm losing all my connection.
Can you see him? I can't see him.
Can you not see him?
Nope.
I can see everybody.
Let me know when Paul's visible, then I'll come in.
Paul's visible. Paul is visible.
Oh, no, I've got to get me worm in a safe position.
He's doing some dancey, shapey things.
All right.
Have we got audio, Paul?
I definitely can't see him.
Nope.
No audio from Paul. He's just confirmed that. Wait, audibly.
How do you manage that without telling you? It's Steve.
Hello.
Hello.
Look at us.
The Mac. You look like you're looking at the screen because I've got an iPad. It's.
You know, I can't hear you with the headphones on.
Huh? We can hear you.
No, he's talking. He's talking to his lady.
Yeah, right. She keeps talking to me with the headphones on, forgetting that's not how headphones work.
I'm going to do a super
I get it time at work as well.
I'm going to do a super wide screen grab
just
tonight.
To get me, God bless you.
Huh?
Where'd you get a widescreen camera from? Or am I on a widescreen camera? Maybe I am.
Right. There we go. Everyone, this is going to be tweeted, so look as handsome as you want to be.
Da.
Ready? That's it, right. I'm going to tweet that out.
Tweet the fuck out of it.
Did you see what happened this evening on my Twitter?
I did.
Yeah.
I got a reply to that, actually. I'll be back in a minute.
Where is Paul? I can't see Paul. Oh, hang on.
You'll see him on the tweet.
Am I missing something really obvious?
I don't know, mate.
Could you keep adding people and keep getting more and more cameras? How many can you get total?
Did you see Paul?
I can't see Paul.
Steve?
Paul's there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't see him at all.
He's the little guy in the bottom left.
I've got... No, I can't see anybody in the bottom left.
I can see him. Paul, can you hear me?
Yeah.
I can hear you, Paul. Hi, Paul. I can hear you.
He looks like Ed Harris.
I can't see him.
Ed Harris does not look like this.
Not now. But you look like Ed Harris from The Abyss.
No, I don't.
A little bit. That's not a bad thing. He's a good-looking bloke.
Hang on, just lost. Oh no, there he is. I lost Steve for a second. I still can't see Paul. I can hear
hang
Paul.
On,
I can't see Paul.
Hang
is he
on,
there with you?
My camera
I can't
feed.
See him.
I'll give you a bit more bandwidth. Can you hear me, Mark?
Yeah, I can hear you, mate.
Sound lovely. Clear as crystal now, Steve.
Well, yeah, the mic's not in front of me. Does that matter?
Not especially. As long as it's if it's a good quality mic, so you should, as long as you're in sort of range, you should be all right.
Right. I'm shooting out into the left field.
This is killing my bandwidth.
Watch the tweet.
Watch the skies.
Right, I'm killing you guys off from video because it's stealing all my bandwidth.
Well, the video. Why isn't this tweet sending?
On your fiber.
Yeah, but I'm upstairs, miles away from the router.
Aren't you on fibre with a decent router? How big's your house? You've only got one room you both sit in.
No, I'm about 70, 80 feet away from the router, I guess.
Okay.
Probably more than that.
Is that tweet gone yet?
I can't see anything.
No, see nothing. Where am I looking at? My notifications or home?
Well, you follow me, so you'll see it. Pop up, hang on.
Oh yeah, don't forget you can iMessage us as we record the Talk Star Wars podcast. We're recording now.
Oh, hang on, hello. It's updating. My thing's updating.
Oh, I'll retweet the fuck out of that.
Do it. What was for?
I quite like Twitter now. I'm getting used to it.
Good.
I don't understand all the hashtag bits and the at bits and all the dot bits and other rest of it, but
yeah. Well, the dot bits you have to worry about that so much anymore. I'm fairly sure they've changed the rules around dot bits, so you don't have to do dot bits anymore.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I remember reading about it. It's something to do with the reason people use dot bits is so that the reply shows up in mentions, not in mentions, in other people's timelines. Because what it is, if you just at somebody back, the only people who can see it are people who follow you both. But if you dot reply them, then it means that everybody who's got one of them on the timeline can see it in their timeline. But I think I'm fairly sure I remembered seeing hang on, I'm sure I just saw the Talk Star Wars.
I've responded to your Ryan Johnson tweet.
Oh, have you? Cool, I've got a lot of...
What did you do to do that? Just hit reply, Paul.
A retweet and quote.
Oh yeah, there's Paul.
I didn't get an option when I did retweet.
That's funny. Look at the tweet that I've just sent now.
Oh, quote tweet. Oh, that allows you to write something.
Yeah, you can sort of editorialise on top of it.
Encased in carbonite. He should be quite well protected.
Oh, they've encased in carbonite. Should be quite well protected.
Has everyone got show notes?
Yes.
Yeah. Everyone's got them, happy to rock and roll.
I still haven't got your tweet yet.
Rob's too distracted because he's on too many podcasts.
I was just checking my mentions, don't mind me.
Unmentionable.
They're mental, by the way. I've been tabulating them for both accounts.
Oh, is it right at the very bottom? Oh, why do they do it that way around?
You're always talking about the bottom.
I'm starting to wonder if
we don't need video now, do we?
No,
video off. I'm jump off.
Sorry, Rob, what were you saying?
I'm starting to wonder if I might be... I'm considering spinning down the Emotionally 14 Twitter account and focusing on my own feed.
Right. Okay.
Because I'm just finding myself like it's just really time consuming to go through and do it. It's worth it. I'm getting a lot of impressions and stuff, which is good. But
I spun down mine and just
what the fuck was that?
My dog's got wind.
That's too serious? Big to be a dog.
That is why you have a dog, so that you can blame your dog.
God.
Who's Erin Blasky?
I've no idea.
A message from her. She's quite hot.
Oh, yeah. That happens a lot, Steve.
Yeah, I got a few of those, mostly from Talk Star Wars. Talk Star Wars.
Talk Star Wars.
I can't hear myself. I can't hear myself. There we go.
Right, are we ready to rock and roll then?
Hang on, I've got my show notes handy. Give me 2 seconds. Let me just get them open.
See what happens? You go to Tumbling Saber and you lose control.
You know, what's weird is they use Google Docs, which is just chaos. I don't know how they managed to get through the thing without it going tits up.
Really?
But they're, to be like, as you'd expect, Mark, they're as nice as you'd imagine them to be.
Yeah, seem like lovely guys.
Lovely group of guys.
Who's Basky?
Very sweet.
Shut up, Steve, please. For the general
weird biscuits.
Where's Basky?
30 years of this year, this August.
I know, that's why I'm doing it.
Right.
Yeah, a friend of mine wants to do a board game recording for Emotionally 14. Whether or not we'll get time is beyond anybody's guess. But
Mark, should we do a 30-year celebration of xenomorph vaginas in August?
No.
What we were talking about when we were at Star Wars.
What?
Yeah, well, that's a long story that's probably best kept at the after dark side.
Yeah. Basically, the worst case is that when you see someone's Minky Moo, that it looks like the face hugger.
Oh, Jesus.
Minky Moo.
Sorry, was that too rude?
Or a dropped pie.
Foo-foo.
Right. Focus, gentlemen.
All right, let's do it.
We don't have any announcements or reviews this week.
Okay.
So what we'll do is, Paul, should we give an update on the Expedia thing?
We could.
I've had a lot of people asking. That's the only thing, because we mentioned it on the last.
Really?
Just mention it quickly.
Well, have you got an example of an ask?
An example?
Yeah.
That you could use as a listener question, I think Paul means.
Oh, I see. Okay.
If he doesn't, that's still a good idea.
It was Kyle.
Did they actually pay you yet?
Kyle Wren is name.
It's Kyle from Tumbling Saber saying, any resolution on your tale with Expedia?
His surname was O'Ren.
It's probably fine.
He's Irish, isn't he?
Kyle O'Ren.
Kyle O'Ren.
It'd be fine. Yeah, really.
Right. Are we ready? Are we ready to go?
Yeah, we're ready.
Good.
Have you seen Ghostbusters yet?
Nope.
Are you interested?
I think I'm hearing mixed reviews. A couple of my friends said they really liked it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've read reviews that said it's all right. I was listening to a podcast today where they said it was fine. And then I've seen one review that said it was one of the worst things I'd ever seen. So I don't really know what to make of it all.
Yeah, it's...
It's tough, isn't it?
I saw it. I saw it.
Oh, you did?
Okay. I saw it, yeah. I was fortunate enough to see it pre-release.
Oh, okay, nice.
So I got a little bit of a jump start on that one, and it was something I was really looking forward to as well.
You don't sound enthused.
No.
You didn't enjoy it, no?
I did enjoy it.
Oh, you did?
I did enjoy it.
Okay.
I laughed a great deal. I thought when they landed what they were going for, it really, really worked.
Okay.
But 90% of the time they didn't land it.
Right, okay. So do you know, I feel like you and I have had this discussion off recording before.
Oh really?
When did you see it?
A couple of weeks ago.
So maybe we did. Maybe we talked about it when you were back from between celebration days.
Oh, maybe we did, but I don't think it wasn't recorded on air. No,
no, no. We definitely not talked about it on air because I've listened back to everything, so I'd remember that.
Right. Yeah. Well, it's what I will say is I was telling the guys when we were driving up to celebration that I'd seen it and this was my take on it. I think Paul Feig manages to get some of the Ghostbusters moments and he really nails them. And there's a couple of points where you might hear like an orchestral version of the Ghostbusters theme.
Oh, nice.
And it will send a shiver up your spine.
Yeah.
Or there's one shot in particular where they kind of frame it on one of the Ghostbusters as they boot up the proton thing. Mm-hmm. And you get that stream of coloured light come out, and then they pull the camera back until slowly you've revealed all of them as they spark up in turn.
Yeah.
And that to me was just, I just thought, oh, that is a Ghostbusters thing. I didn't even realise there was a Ghostbusters thing. I've been a fan of that film all my life.
So they've hit certain beats for you.
They've hit this beat, and I just thought, that's it. That is it.
Yeah.
But then they do all sorts of silly things that just, like, the jokes don't land.
I've heard there's a few that are just like kind of cringeworthy.
The cameos are dreadful.
They're awful. They managed to not be funny.
They managed to not be funny.
They managed to make not Bill be charming. Murray not funny.
Yeah. Well, he does most of that heavy lifting himself. Dan Aykroyd, you blink and you miss him. Ernie Hudson's the best out of all of them.
Okay.
There's one in there I won't spoil. There's a tribute to Harold Ramis, which is
I heard about that. Quite That's a nice touching. Touch. Yeah, I like that.
But yeah, there are more issues with it than not.
Okay, so it's worth. You'd say it's worth a watch, maybe, or
it's worth a watch, but I won't. I probably won't buy it.
No, fair enough.
It's definitely the third best Ghostbusters film that's ever been made.
All right.
But there was definitely a way to do it right. They just didn't.
They did certain bits right, but just not enough. Not consistently enough. Is that what you're sort of saying? Like the consistency is not there, but what is there is all right.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Okay.
when they land it, they really do, and you get these standout Ghostbusters moments. But the rest of it feels like they're doing a cover of a song, you know.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Here's the thing, right? Did you pick up on this? I've read about this in a review. No, it wasn't read about it. I heard it on a podcast talking about the movie. They made it sound like the movie couldn't decide if it was a hard reboot or a sort of side thing because they kept making references to things happening 20 years ago and 30 years ago and stuff. It's like, well, hang on.
Yeah, that's not overt.
Okay.
And certainly the cameos... that they're very definite in the fact that this is a hard reboot.
Yeah.
Whereas they could have done something very clever that would have utilized the people that cameoed.
Yeah.
In the same amount of screen time. Mm-hmm. And even if it was just something as simple as they're handing over the keys to the firehouse or something to the new girls and just saying, it's all yours.
Or it's a franchise, you know.
Well, that would be the way I'd go with it. And I did this, you remember me telling you previously, I used to write this piece on Movie Geeks Film News called The Hollywood Pitch.
Yes, I remember
One of
that.
Them was a pitch to reboot Ghostbusters.
Oh, okay.
And it's something that I've had rattling around in my head for years of how you would do it. And when I first started thinking about it, it was, I thought Seth Rogen and Mike Rudd, Paul Rudd, would all be Mike. He was Mike and Friends, wasn't he? All those hot young comedians, you know, that were just coming off They were just sort of hitting the apex of their careers, weren't they? At that time, you get all these bright young Turks come in, stick them in this film and just have Ghostbusters franchises, and you could tell them everywhere. And that idea started to percolate and became something else, which was a little kind of spec script in the form of this Hollywood pitch, which was 30-odd years after the battle in New York, and you've got the Ghostbusters who are now like chairman of this big franchise like Starbucks. Yeah. So in every city, you've got a little Ghostbusters franchise working. People are still split. They can't decide if they're genuine or if they're charlatans. But their CEO, I had in mind being someone like Gillian Anderson, who would be this beautiful sort of person that you'd see on all your, you know, the CEO photograph would be this gorgeous person, but inside she's the villainous one, you know, the one where she's only trying to wring as much money out of the Ghostbusters franchise as possible.
I see.
But my idea for a story would start with Egon having passed away,
right,
and then being at the head office of or the corporate office of Ghostbusters Inc. and they're unveiling this statue of Egon. So that's when you'd get all your old Ghostbusters cameos out of the way. You get them in there. And my idea was that Dan Aykroyd's character, Ray, would be seeing an apparition of Egon. And he's not sure if he's starting to lose his mind or if it's something that's actually happening. Egon's trying to communicate to him.
Okay.
And when he starts to talk to the other Ghostbusters, like Winston or Peter, he's sort of saying, I think I'm seeing Egon. And they're all like, no, you're just missing him and all this sort of stuff. Yeah. But then, and it's things like he sees him reflected in glass and stuff like that. And then gradually Egon gets more and more capable. But it's not Harold Ramis. It's an apparition of Harold Ramis, you know, like...
Yeah.
They're slightly more stylized in Ghostbusters, aren't they? So you get away with pushing it a little bit. And when he finally gets to tell the Ghostbusters why he's coming back, he'll say something like, it may have been 30 years for us since we fought Gozer, but it's 30 seconds for her and she's coming back for round two. So they know that rift is about to open up again.
Yeah.
And they've got enough time to sort of put together a super group of the best Ghostbusters from all these franchises, which gives you the opportunity to bring in Melissa McCarthy and Seth Rogen, Steve Carell, if you want to, Ricky Gervais, if they've franchised out to the UK.
This is what I don't get, right, is why they've gone... This is one of the things that I didn't get, and it annoyed the piss out of me, is this attitude of, oh, we're just going to do it with all women.
Yeah.
Like, why not mix it up? It doesn't make sense. Like, you know, why not have kind of... You know, minorities, and maybe don't have them play token characters like they made. I hear they made Leslie Jones do the kind of
She was shortchanged.
Yeah, well, this is it. You know, I feel like
that's... I even hear that they were toying with the idea of having Kate McKinnon's character, who steals the show completely.
She's the one, yeah. Because this is the one thing I did hear, which is pretty consistent across the board, is that she's the best one out of the four.
Absolutely, without a doubt, she's a revelation, and I'm looking forward to seeing more from her. Yeah. But there was talk that her character, Holtzman, was going to be gay and that she and Melissa McCarthy's character might have had some sort of...
History.
Okay. But apparently the studio shied away from that. I heard that on CinemaSins this week.
If that's true, that's bizarre. Because that's the only bit of controversy they haven't shied away from. That would be the only bit of controversy they shied away from in the entire time they've been running. Because they've milked this controversy for... everything it's worth, and actually and this is one of the things that really pisses me off, right? Because one of my friends, Brad, friend of the show and obviously one of my colleagues at Emotionally 14, went to see it with his brother. Also, Blake is also Emotionally 14, but Brad said that the trailer didn't do it justice at all, and that's a common consensus I've noticed across the board, is that people are saying that the trailer did a terrible job of selling the film in terms of the quality of it.
Yeah, the marketing was weak, yeah.
Yeah, but that's Sony's fault. That's on them to market it. And if they don't market it correctly, then it's up to them to own up and to put their hands up and say, you know, sorry you didn't like the trailer, like, please stick with us for the movie. What did they do instead? They doubled down on this idea that if you didn't like the trailer, it must be because you're a sexist. Yeah. And that really annoyed me. I hate that shit.
They even put that into the film. YouTube comments and stuff.
That's exactly it. Like, that's just childish. That's just like, oh, you don't like us? Oh, we're gonna make fun of you. And that's especially annoying that they put it in the film, because the people who want to defend themselves, like, let's say it was me, right? I have a platform where if somebody accused me of sexism because I thought the movie was crap, I could go on a platform. I could either go on one of my podcasts, or I could come on here and I could justify my reasons, and that's up to me. And it's up to people to accept them or not.
Yeah.
Most people don't have that. They don't have a platform where they get, you know, dozens or hundreds or thousands of listeners or whatever the hell we get. They don't have that. So they don't have an opportunity to voice their opinions. Well, they have the opportunity in terms of they could start their own show, but that's the kind of thing where you can't just put it out there and suddenly thousands of people pick it up. That's not how it works. You have to, you know as well as I do, you have to graft for this stuff. In terms of you have to carve out every little bit of listenership you can in the modern world, because everybody's got a show, everybody's got a blog, everybody's got a point of view, and more power to them. Don't get me wrong. It's not a knock on people having a platform. I think it's great that more people should make use of them. But what I will say is that it's not fair to put yourself in as the, to kind of paint yourself as the people who are being oppressed, and then use your multi-million dollar movie franchise to take a pop at the people who are supposedly oppressing you. How oppressed are you, really? If you've got that platform of a multi-million dollar movie franchise to piss on a few people, because there will be, and I'm not disputing the fact there are going to be people in amongst those people who said the trailer was shit, who don't like it because it's a woman thing. And I'm sure there are. Now, but what I refuse to believe is that it's the overwhelming majority of the people who dislike the trailer.
No, I'm with you there.
The
majority are people who are Ghostbusters fans.
Yeah.
And that, I think that's a silent majority, because it's been a franchise that's been dead for decades.
And it's the fact
it's dead for decades.
Again, it's not just the fact that it's a remake, it's a hard reboot.
Yeah.
It doesn't delete the other movie from history, but it does rewrite the canon.
Mm.
And that's how canon works. You can't just say, oh, they're not taking your movie away. They're not physically taking it away, but they are erasing it from the canonical history.
The frustration is,
not everybody cares about that stuff, right? No. Now, I'm, as listeners will know from the fact that I talk about, bang on about Legends canon all the time, I still go back and read Legend stuff. I still play the games. I still read the books. I still read the comics because I enjoy them and the stories entertain me. I can tell the difference between what's canon and what's not. And so it doesn't faze me when I read something that's good. I know some people, and fair play to them, they can't read the Legend since they weren't canon anymore. Now, that's not me, but fair enough.
Yeah, that's me. I am that person.
I can understand that, and I know you're not alone in this. And like I say, not a problem. No, not a problem at all. Everybody's got their own ways of dealing, of enjoying this stuff. But, I've done it again. I forgot where I was going. Yeah, but so I can tell the difference. And this is another thing that annoys me, right? Some of those people who are going to be labeled as, horrendous, sexist and all that shit are probably not all with it. Sad as it is to say, it's true. Some of them are going to have behavioral difficulties, challenge of behavior, personality disorders, stuff like that. And what, you're going to mock them in your movie? Like, grow up, for fuck's sake. It really pisses me off.
Sony had a chance to get this right, and a simple focus group before they'd even written their name on the top of their little pads to start on their first draft.
Yeah.
They should have had a focus group and said to people, if you had it your way and you got to see another Ghostbusters movie, what would it be? Everyone would say sequel. No one would say reboot it. Let's start again. No one would say that.
No, because people like the original.
There was some confusion with the marketing, because that first trailer seemed to suggest that it was a sequel, a pickup.
Yeah.
Yeah. And in fact, it's a hard reboot that trashes everything that went before it. Now you can everyone can make the argument, well, the original film is still on your shelf and in your DVD box.
Absolutely true.
Yeah, that is true. And thanks, I'll take that option and I won't buy yours and I won't see it again. And I think that's a shame because just as I was just saying, Kate McKinnon is a revelation and I would love to see more of Holtzman, but I'm not sure I want to see it. I'm not sure I want to see a sequel to this film, especially the way they set it up, which I won't go into because I don't want to spoil it for anybody.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough. I can understand it. I mean, I may go and see it anyway. I'm certainly not in any rush based on what I've read. Because a lot of it, like I said, a lot of it does kind of, depending on who you speak to as to how much it bothers them, but some of it does sound just a bit like man-slamming. And that's just like, Jesus Christ, I read enough of that bollocks in the press. I don't need it in my, escapism.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, come on. It's a movie about people had it because Brad wrote it on, put a thing up on Facebook about it, and he described it really. I really liked the way he described it. Let me find his quote. It was about he used the phrase. That wasn't it. Nearly there. There's a lot of malevolent gender politics being attached to a movie about. Where is it? Here we go. People seem to be attributing a lot of malevolent gender politics to a movie about fighting ghosts with a magic backpack.
Yeah.
It's true, you know.
That's it.
And then somebody went on in the thread to talk about fragile male feelings, and I just pointed out, there's some. Because I can't be dealing with those pricks. You know what I mean? That's the kind of shit he's talking about. But, you know, it doesn't...
Just to be perfectly clear about the point I'm making, and I know you understand it, Rob, but I just want everyone else to grasp where I'm coming from.
Yeah.
I love these four women. I'm a huge fan of Kristen Wiig, and now I'm a massive fan of Kate McKinnon.
Yeah.
Melissa McCarthy's great. Leslie Jones, I'm not really familiar with Leslie Jones's work because I don't see Saturday Night Live.
Okay. I've seen her in a couple of sketches. She's all right. I mean, she's
great in this. She's effective in this. She's charming when she's not effective. It's fine. Chris Hemsworth is a revelation. Such a strong comedy sensibility, which I never would have said.
No.
The problem is,
it's the writing.
They just failed. They failed the most simple thing. You just look at Ghostbusters and you say, let's bring Goza straight back. She thinks she's coming back for round two a split second later, but really decades have passed, and now we've got a brand new bunch of Ghostbusters, a really diverse bunch of Ghostbusters, so you can tick everybody's boxes. That's not me being cynical. But you can have
I don't think that's true of the actresses, but I definitely think that's in the minds of the people making the movies now.
It might be, and even if it isn't, it's in the minds of people that want to detract from the film for the wrong reasons.
Yeah,
but
that's true.
You could build an army, not hundreds, but you know, you can have waves of Ghostbusters from different areas that have to come in and help. You could have done everything. You could have had some blinding cameos.
Yeah.
Because everyone would, if you had Bill Murray and Dan Aykroyd coming back and saying, right, we're back for Ghostbusters and we're passing it over to a new generation.
Yeah.
You open the door to some comedy heavyweights from today.
Yeah, big time.
No, don't want to be a part of it.
Almost like the Anchorman fight scenes.
Exactly.
Just having people from different kind of franchises around the world. And you could even have
Smith,
comedy.
Ben Stiller. Yeah. All those people would be involved. But it would be funny, whereas Anchorman 2 wasn't.
Well, yeah, true.
And you'd have the cream of the new crop rise to the top, and that's when you cherry pick out your Kate McKinnons, and they carry the franchise on after Goza's been defeated the second time around. It's so easy. Yeah. If I can think of it, it's so easy.
you do yourself a disservice, sir.
Why are these professional writers at Sony not picking up? Why are they thinking, page one, reboot, ignore everything that went before?
Yep.
That people only want to see Bill Murray, let's wheel him in for this obnoxious cameo. No.
Yeah.
You really dropped the ball. You missed what was right in front of you.
I read a fantastic theory the other day. It's a bit of a, you know, it's a bit tinfoil hatty, but I found it entertaining, which was that Sony don't know how to market a picture anymore without controversy. Because if you go back and look at Bridesmaids, because that was a Sony gig and that was a Paul Feig. Was it Feig?
That's him, yeah.
Yeah. And that was marketed as like, if you don't go and see this movie, they'll never make another movie with female leads again. Come on. It's like, yeah. You don't have to do that. It's a good movie. Everybody I've spoken to loves it.
Yeah.
You know, same with The Interview, right? That was a Sony picture, wasn't it?
Yes, it was, yeah.
And that one was subject to loads of controversy, and it probably ended up doing better, made them more money than had they just let it come out. They would have been, you know, they would have made some money off it, but I don't think they would have made as much money as had they had this whole scandal about the leak and the North Korea tie and, oh, you know, Kim Jong-un doesn't want you to see it, though, therefore it must be good, right? It's like, well, not necessarily. I don't know what Kim Jong-un's movie taste is like. Believe it or not, he and I don't talk.
Yeah. I'm willing to bet it's weird.
Yeah, just in case anybody's unclear. But yeah, it's one of those, like I say, it's one of those things that's driving me up the fucking wall in all this stuff is that there's no, you can't just make a movie anymore. There has to be some manufactured, stirred up controversy around it to drive it forwards. And if you made a good movie and if you've got confidence in your movie, you don't need that shit.
No.
You just don't. Like I could, you know, I could jump on Twitter tomorrow and say something massively inflammatory and it would drum up some PR. Not, you know, obviously it would drum up some press for Emotionally 14, but obviously it would also do Talk Star Wars, so I wouldn't do it anyway. But the point is, I could do that, but I don't want to do it that way because I feel like the stuff I release for Emotionally 14, Talk Star Wars, Guest Spot and Time to Save, all that stuff, I feel the quality of it is good enough that it can speak for itself without me having to do any other shit.
Yeah.
As simple as that. I don't see any need to drum up any controversy. I don't feel the need to do anything like that. It's just everything, the quality of the stuff I do is sufficiently there for people to make their own minds up. And that's my feeling on it. Whether that's true or not, who knows? Write in and tell me I'm broke.
No, I'm with you, mate. I'm with you. They dropped the ball here.
Fair enough.
Never mind. Okay. Well, that's a nice little Ghostbuster shape rent for the After Dark Side. I think that's enough for one night, don't you?
Yeah, you'll know if we've made it, Mark. This is how you'll know, right? If there's suddenly a video that pops up which is cherry picked to make it sound like we hate people, then you'll know we've made it. That's when you know we're a big deal.
I don't think anyone would think we hate people.
No, I think to be honest, that would be a stretch. I think
we are people.
Exactly. I think they'd struggle to pin anything any such thing on us. And if they want to try and, you know, if people want to try and pin something controversial on me, I will happily discuss it and make my feelings crystal clear. Because I have no fear of my opinions, nor should anybody else, because they're pretty harmless.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I do indeed. Hear, hear, sir.
Good times, good times.
Okay, mate. Wow. Right, we'll see everyone next week.
Yeah. Do you want to do a quick round of plugs before we go?
Yeah,
go on, mate. We never do it at the end of After Dark Side.
No, we don't. Plug away.
Obviously, we're at Talk Star Wars. I'm at Rob Wade Vision on Twitter. I've also got an Instagram, and you can follow me on Facebook, although I'm kind of more selective about who I friend. But feel free to follow me, and you can get my updates of what I'm doing. Instagram and Twitter. Instagram I've kind of got back into since I got a phone that can actually run it. Well, because I had a Windows phone before, didn't I?
Yeah.
And Windows Phone is a really nice UI, but it doesn't have the apps. It just doesn't have the first-party official apps. And the ones they do have aren't fantastically stable at times. And actually, in some cases, for example, Snapchat. You know Snapchat?
Yeah.
So Snapchat had the... I realize this is still the outro, but whatever. Snapchat... didn't have an official first-party Windows Phone app, so I downloaded a third-party one that would allow me to do pictures, Snapchats, and all that without any issue. Problem solved, job done. However, Snapchat tightened their rules because of some scandal about there was a third-party app in particular that would allow you to record the screenshot without deleting it.
Right.
Now, obviously, they market themselves on, you know, oh, it's only in there once and then it's gone and nobody ever gets to see it again. So obviously people were sending things that they shouldn't normally have sent because they thought it was safe to do so. Now, say what you like about that, and I have my feelings on it, which is a bit bloody stupid, but fair enough. So cue people going, oh, well, what if people send, you know, nudie pics to each other and they're, you know, they want to get rid of it and they can't. And that's totally fair enough. So Snapchat tightened their rules around third-party apps. That meant no third-party apps could be used on Snapchat, which meant instantly that my Windows Phone one stopped working completely, even though it wasn't the app that was actually offending. So, yeah, since then, I've been looking for... I've been sort of gradually gravitating away from Windows Phone just because of little things like that.
Yeah.
And now I've got a Samsung Galaxy S7 and it's bloody lovely.
Running Android, is it?
It is, yes. Yeah, I'm getting used to it. It's still, there's a few little bits that are a bit different to what I'm used to, but most of it's pretty straightforward. I mean, there wouldn't have been, I was toying between that and an iPhone 6, and I don't think, 6S rather, and I don't think there was either choice would have been a bad shout. I think both would have been absolutely fine for me.
Yeah.
You know.
Trust me, I have my moments where I think about leaving iOS, but I'm so deeply invested in the ecosystem now.
iPod Touch, my friend. That's my way forwards. Is yeah. I have an iPod Touch for all my Apple stuff. I have a Android phone for now all my Android stuff, and I have a Windows tablet for all my Windows stuff. So you know, I have a foot in every camp, which is why whenever somebody tries to make the fanboy argument, they fall flat on their ass because I have. I like my gadgets, so I have a bit of everything, and I dip my toes into every different pond.
Not Steve's, hopefully, with his frogs.
No, nothing. No, fuck that.
Joking. Frogs. God, no. Ugh. All right, everyone. That's the most convoluted outro you're going to hear in a long time.
And that's saying a lot.
We'll see you next week.
Cheers, guys. Bye.